Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Today is April the 18th, Tuesday of the octave of Easter. It's going to be a great day on the program. Got lots of good things for you. My name is Gary Zimek, so settle down, relax. We're going to be here for the entire hour. Let's kick things off with prayer as we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to another day. We thank you for the blessings that you have given to us and that you continue to give to us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We ask you, Father, to strengthen us, to be with us, to guide us throughout the day today. Please help us to be able to draw people closer to you. We lift up our friends, our relatives, our family members. We ask for blessings upon our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask that you continue to guide us. And we ask above all that one day we can live with you forever in heaven. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. By my side, as always, my right-hand man, Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. How are you? How's everybody out there?
Boy, Dave, it is a gorgeous day out there today.
Beautiful.
How about that
day.
Drive-in today? Wasn't that great?
Yeah. Calming.
Beautiful sunrise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dave, we're going to mention this later in the show, but I just wanted to touch on this now. We are going to be taking some time off
for
the remainder of this week and for next week. We'll be playing some rebroadcasts, some best of programs, some pre-recorded shows we have never done before, featuring a lot of the music. We'll talk more about that later on, but I just wanted to make that point known. I don't want you to panic. We're still going to be here, but we will just not be live, and then we'll be back live in the studio on May the 1st. But we'll talk more about that at the end of the show. We have got an action-packed program today. I want to tell you who's coming on and then read the gospel. We have with us today, live in the studio, Mr. Robert White, who is the president of the St. Gianna Society. That's a local society dedicated to St. Gianna. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. We also have on the phone with us today Sean Tivenin, who is starring in a new play, St. Francis Troubadour of God's Peace, from St. Luke's Productions. So we're going to have Sean on the phone as well. But without further ado, let me get into the gospel, since we have so much going on the program today. Today's gospel is from Tuesday of the Octave of Easter. It comes from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. Dave Parker, here's another example we saw. We're going to be seeing these little episodes at the tomb of Jesus. So
Absolutely.
Many people at the tomb, not necessarily expecting to find him resurrected.
Exactly. Exactly.
Looking for his body. Where did they move the body? Mm-hmm. Mary's weeping. She doesn't understand. And Jesus said that he would rise from the dead.
Exactly. But that, I think that goes to, we alluded to it yesterday, they didn't get it. I mean, they weren't expecting it that way. I don't know if whatever way they expected it, but, and then they thought he was the gardener.
And in the same way, Dave, and Mary didn't recognize Jesus when she first saw him. In the same way, we often don't expect him to work miracles in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be hearing some stories of some miracles in a few minutes.
Oh, yes, we are.
Firsthand accounts of some miracles. But so many times, we write the Lord off, and we don't think he could do these miracles in our lives. The last thing I want to say about this gospel, as soon as Mary recognized that it was Jesus and that he had risen, what did she do? She went to tell the disciples. Mm-hmm. She evangelized. And really, that's what we're all called to do once
excited.
We have that encounter
once,
with Christ.
Once it dawned on her that, hey, here is our risen Lord. And yeah, who could keep it in?
That's right. So what a great example for all of us from today's gospel. And if you want to read that again, we're going to have it linked at spiritinthemorning.com. So make sure you check that out. All right, let's get to our first guest now because it's an exciting day. Live in the studio with us is Robert White. He is the president of the Society of St. Gianna.
Thank
Bob,
you.
Good morning. Thanks good morning. For joining us.
Morning, Gary. Morning, Dave. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Today, I'd just like to talk a little bit about St. Gianna's life, about answered prayers, and the upcoming Feast Day Mass that will be on April 28th of this month. We'll have Rosary at 6:30. The Mass will be at 7. Monsignor Baddick from Allentown will be the main celebrant for that Mass. At this point, usually when I talk about St. Gianna and stuff, I'd like to start off with an answered prayer.
I'd love to hear it.
For our Protestant brothers and sisters, if you're out there listening and you say, why not go straight to Jesus, we refer you to Acts 19:11-12, which says, when Paul walked past him, if his shadow fell upon him or they touched his cloak, evil spirits came out of them and they were cured of their infirmities. Mm-hmm. We also see in the Old Testament where Moses was all the time asked to intercede for the Jewish community. So that is out there. I do go around the country and I do presentations at churches. Mm-hmm. I'll come into your church if you want afterwards. I'll give you information on how to do that later. Mm-hmm. And we do presentations. Mm-hmm. I have what is called a second class relic. There's first class relics, which is any part of the body, and a second class is something that the body touched. Mm-hmm. In this case, I have a glove that St. Gianna wore. I did a presentation at St. Maria Goretti in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. Claire Crotty, a 4-year-old girl who would be sick 15 to 20 days out of the month. She would get ear infections, nose infections, right. throat infections. After the infections went away, she would get blisters all over the outside of her mouth, mm-hmm. inside her mouth, down her throat. Wow. She was taken to Children's Hospital and diagnosed with a suppressed immune system. The young girl had cancer. Mm-hmm. Her mother had heard of this presentation and brought the little girl forward. When Claire picked this relic up, and if anyone out there has ever venerated a relic is always sealed in glass or metal. You physically don't hold the relic. When her husband, Mr. Mola, gave us these relics, he said, you can have them, you're not to seal them. So 2,000 years of church history, and no one has physically held a relic. If you come to our feast day mass, you're going to have that opportunity. Young Claire was taken to Children's Hospital and diagnosed with a suppressed immune system. She had cancer. When she came forward, she picked this relic up that I'm holding here, Gary mm-hmm. and Dave, and dropped it immediately. Her mother, Anne, was horrified. Claire, why'd you drop that glove? Mommy, that glove's too hot to touch.
Wow.
Her mother took the glove, touched her ears, her nose, her throat, and they went on their way. We received an email from Anne several weeks later, Claire's mother, stating that after that presentation, the little girl was no longer getting sick and was taken back to Children's Hospital. An immunologist had drawn 19 vials of blood and came back with an astonished look and said, I've no medical explanation for this, but your daughter's blood work came back fine. There's nothing wrong with her. Her mother had purchased a picture of St. Gianna, just like on this prayer card that will be available at the Feast Day Mass again, and put it on the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. When the young girl woke up in the morning, she was calling her mom from the kitchen. Her mother came in, very critical to listen to what this young girl said. She points to the picture and says, that's the woman helped me get better. She never said that's the woman who made me better. At 4 years old, she understood the saint interceded, but Jesus healed. Critical for Catholics. Saints don't answer prayers.
Exactly.
Saints don't heal us. They intercede for us. Mm. So that's just a little bit on answered prayers through a veneration of that. Okay, also at the Feast Day Mass, there's prayer cards that are handed out. They're touched to the relics. Mm-hmm. Prior to Vatican II, they would have been third-class relics. The church did away with third class because they said, what happens if this relic hits the floor? Is the carpet a relic? Absolutely not. So when they touch something spiritual, we say they're very special.
Right.
So when the prayer cards are touched, a woman came in and took it to her mother in Abington Hospital who had lung cancer. They put the prayer card on her, mm-hmm. said the prayers, and the lumps in the right lung are gone, and the ones in the left are diminishing. Now, this was several years ago, but that testimony was in the Philadelphia Catholic Standard and Time. Thus showing proof to Acts 19, 11, and 12, when Paul walked past them, or in this case, when they touched St. Gianna's glove or her prayer cards, evil spirits came out of them, and they were cured of their infirmities.
Mm. Just like that. Yeah. I mean, that's like, incredible.
Well, you know, the St. Gianna Foundation has been around in this area for quite some time, very special to the station and very special in my heart. You know, so when my daughter was born back in 2000, she was not supposed to be. In fact, you know, what we were asked to do was terminate the pregnancy. And at the time, we met Joe Cunningham.
Correct.
Back here, actually here at the station. We've seen the gloves. We've had the gloves. We've actually have a picture that we keep out here at the station now. And she was not supposed to be born. And at the time, there's 20 cases that were similar that out of those, and most of those ended in not a good ending. You know, Gia was born, and so her name was Gianna Rose, and
a beautiful name.
And so, after at the time, Blessed Gianna, and she was not supposed to be. Now, she did wind up passing away of cancer 4 years later, but the fact is, she, you know, we credit Gianna for even getting her in our family and being part of our life and connecting us to so many people, including even a deeper connection here at the station, a deeper connection to the St. Gianna Foundation and all the works that are out there. And to hear these stories around the country, which we get all the time because we also have a website, so people wind up contacting us through that as well. So there's tons of these stories all from St. Gianna.
Yeah, and I could go on for weeks telling answered prayers, but many, many answered prayers, just like he's stating right there.
And it's so powerful to hear that and to remember that the Lord still does heal people. He still performs miracles through the intercession of saints such as St. Gianna.
And what I tell people a lot, if mom, if dad was mad at you, who did you go to?
That's right.
You went to mom. You went to mom, and she cooled
always.
Dad down, and everything was good, so...
That's right. Bob, we're going to go to a break. If you don't mind, would you stick around with us? Because I know you have a lot more that you want to share.
Yes, I will.
All right. We will be right back. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit of the Morning. Your time right now is 7:12. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 18th. Today we celebrate Blessed James Oldo. You've heard of rags-to-riches stories? Today we celebrate the reverse. James of Oldo was born in 1364 into a well-to-do family near Milan. He married a woman who, like him, appreciated the comforts that had come with wealth. But an outbreak of plague drove James, his wife, and their three children out of their home and into the countryside. Despite those precautions, two of his daughters died from the plague. James determined to use whatever time he had left to build up treasures in heaven and to build God's realm on earth. He and his wife became secular Franciscans. James gave up his old lifestyle and did penance for his sins. He cared for a sick priest who taught him Latin. Upon the death of his wife, James himself became a priest. His house was transformed into a chapel where small groups of people, many of them fellow secular Franciscans, came for prayer and support. James focused on caring for the sick and for prisoners of war. He died in 1404 after contracting a disease from one of his patients and was beatified in 1933. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
The Society of St. Gianna Bretamola will be having its annual St. Gianna Feast Day Mass on Friday, April 28th, all taking place at the Philadelphia Archdiocesan Shrine of St. Gianna, located in the Nativity of Our Lord Parish at 605 West Street Road in Warminster. The celebration begins with a rosary recitation at 6:30 p.m., followed by Mass and ending with fellowship and light refreshments in the church hall downstairs. That's the St. Gianna Beretta Mola Feast Day Mass taking place Friday, April 28th at 6:30 p.m.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave. My name, no more sorrow, no
And that was I Will Rise by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Today we're joined by Robert White, who is the president of the Society of St. Gianna. And before the break, he was telling us a little bit about the work that he does with the Society. But Bob, if you will, could you tell, for the benefit of anybody who might not be familiar with her life, just a little bit about the life of St. Gianna?
Yeah, St. Gianna was the 10th of 13 children. She was born on the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. Every morning, their mother, Maria, would lightly touch the foreheads of the children, and the entire family went to morning mass. In the evening, they would meet their father, Alberto, at the train station, and while they walked home, they'd sing songs. Once home, they would pray a family rosary, consecrate that home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and have scriptural readings. And this is the foundation for every Catholic home. And that's what saints are. They're role models for us as to how to live. Her early childhood, she did a retreat at St. Vincent de Paul, and after that retreat, she wrote this prayer: I promise you, Jesus, to submit myself to all you permit to happen to me. Let me only know your will. She was failing in school then, and after that retreat, everything she did was for the love of Jesus. She went to a straight-A student.
Wow.
She went on to the University of Pavia and earned a degree in pediatrics and surgery. She graduated with honors, and her brother had a practice in Mesero. Often senior citizens would not be charged. The poor would find money in their health card. She got married in 1955, and when she was pregnant with the sixth child, a uterine tumor had been discovered, which threatened her life and the child in her womb. She knew she could have a hysterectomy. Under the church's principle of double effect, it would have been permitted in this instance. I'm not going to go into double effect.
Right.
The couple chose to have the tumor removed in such a way that it would protect the child but put her life at risk. And before she went in to deliver that child, she said to the doctor, the surgeon, and her husband, "If there's a choice between me and that child, I demand it. You save that child's life." Seven days after giving birth to a 10-pound baby girl, she died of septoperitonitis. And as she was leaving this world, leaving behind a husband, three children, and a newborn infant. And I often tell women and husbands, imagine you're at home laying in your bed. This is going on. What would you be thinking? What would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Gianna had to say: Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And it all goes back to that prayer at age 15.
Yeah.
I promise you, Jesus, to submit myself, even to her own life, to God's holy will. And she performed it. And Cardinal Maria Martini said, this single incident isn't what makes her holy. It's her everyday life. Everything she did, every action she did, is what made her holy. And that allowed her to make this decision, because if her life wasn't formed, she never could have done that.
Exactly. Wow, that's a powerful story. Tell us a little bit about Bob, if you will, the Shrine of St. Gianna.
Okay, the shrine is located at 605 a street road in Warminster, Pennsylvania. It started out several years ago. We just had a statue in the back. And through the over the past couple years, we have now become an archdiocesan shrine, which means Rome recognizes this. If you went to Rome and said, "Oh, what's the Nativity of Our Lord Parish Shrine?" they could tell you, "Yes, that's the archdiocesan shrine of St. Gianna, and it's recognized by Rome." Pilgrimages can be arranged to the shrine.
Okay.
The shrine is not open 24 hours. You have to go on our website, which is www.stgianna.org, and you can get the information, or you can call at 215-657-3101 and make arrangements to go to the shrine. If you go to the shrine, you're going to have the ability to pick and hold up this relic. And just like young Claire, and I also tell people, if you don't get an answered prayer immediately, remember St. Monica. She prayed for 30 years.
Right.
30 years. She knew God would answer her prayer. But
for
she knew
Augustine.
And we got St. Augustine, a doctor of the church.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor of the church, because she believed, she never lost faith.
Right.
And that's what the shrine is there for. It's St. Gianna was canonized mother of a family. And today, the family is under an assault on every level. Every level. We see it in the government with same-sex marriage. We see it in families with divorce. We see drug and alcohol abuse. And this is not only for Catholics. This is for anyone who would like to come to the shrine with family matters. You can't come there and have confession or, you know, receive the Eucharist.
Sure.
But you can come to the shrine and try to understand the Catholic faith a little better. And that's what the shrine's about.
And it's great because it's local. It's right in Warminster.
Correct. Correct. And if you're not sure, it's at the corner of Street and 263, right behind Archbishop Wood High School.
I was going to say, the simplicity of her simple yes
right.
at 15, and then when she was dying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I mean, how simple is that? And that's how simple it can be for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. That's because that's the way she believed. That's the way she lived. She really knew him on that personal of a level, and she trusted him.
Correct, yeah. And also, if you're out there and you would like a presentation done at your own church, I travel all over the country, and I bring these relics to churches. I'm actually going to Chicago, and then I'm in, I got to go to Allentown, then I'm going to Pittsburgh. I travel a lot, and I bring the relics. And after Mass, give a five-minute talk, and everyone's invited to touch these relics. We encourage husbands and wives, when you come up, hold the relic in your hand. Like I said, it's not sealed.
Yeah.
If you have a miraculous medal, a rosary that you would like to touch, you're able to touch them to it. Mm. And we give the rosaries out to honor the message of our Blessed Mother at Fatima. She had said that if every Catholic would pray a rosary, we would have world peace. Mm. That means no conflict with Syria. That means no fighting with ISIS. And all we have to do as Catholics is to say a simple rosary every day. How much easier could our Lord have made it?
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple rosary.
Yeah,
that's what our shrine's about.
Great. Now, there's the special Mass coming up. We just heard a promo for the Mass. That's going to be on
April 28th. We'll have the rosary at 6:30. Mass will be at 7. Again, Monsignor Baddick. And then after the Mass, the relics are on display for your veneration. Husbands and wives, like I said, come up, hold it. Pray for your family, for your children. Pray for your marriage. You may have a great marriage, but is it a holy marriage? And pray for that. And we'll be there for you. And I'm telling you, if you come to that Mass, you're going to really, really understand the power of the saints and the love that Jesus has for us.
And one more thing. Where can we find out more online about the St. Gianna Society?
You can go to www.stgianna.org. Or if you'd like to email, it's info@stgianna.org.
Well, you know, just one more touch on my daughter, and this touches to everything here. You know, she had on her... bed right up above her bed was a picture of St. Gianna.
Mm.
And when you talk to her in the morning, she would say that she was actually talking to the woman.
Wow.
And she would say it every single night. My point here is we can have conversations with St. Gianna. She can intercede on our behalf. She has done it for a number of people. The key is it's having faith, and it is, you know, understanding how this all comes together. The St. Gianna Foundation has done a really great job of getting the word out for years. This has been an ongoing thing, and it's a word about life.
I'm glad you brought that point up, because I tell people, when you pray, ask St. Gianna to pray with you, not for you. If you're doing a rosary, say, Gianna, pray this rosary. Ask your guardian angels to pray with you. Ask the saints, deceased family members, pray with me. They want to pray with us. We have to ask them.
Exactly.
Amen.
So, amen to that, exactly. So, you know, there's a very special time.
Bob, I want to really thank you for stopping in. We really appreciate that. And again, to find out more, it's stgianna.org.
Correct, yes. Yes, www.stgianna.org.
Thank you so much, Bob White, for joining us today on the program. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Sean Tivenin, who's the star of the new play about St. Francis of Assisi. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit radio news update. Vice President Mike Pence has assured Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe the U.S. stands 100% behind its anchor ally in Asia in working to defuse risks from North Korea's nuclear program. Pence struck a stern tone as he began talks with Abe and other Japanese leaders after arriving at a U.S. naval base from Seoul, South Korea. The multi-state manhunt for the suspect in a random killing that police say he recorded and posted to Facebook is now entering its third day. Cleveland police say it's now a nationwide search for 37-year-old Steve Stevens. Videos Stevens shared show him talking about his despair over gambling debts and trouble with his girlfriend, along with how he wanted to kill innocent people. And Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI has celebrated his 90th birthday with a mug of beer and the company of visitors from his native Bavaria. Photos from Vatican newspaper L'Osservatore Romano of the celebration showed the former Holy Father sipping a beer. His brother, Monsignor Georg Ratzinger, also joined the party. The retired pope looked frail but happy. He was born April 16, 1927 in southern Germany, but since his birthday coincided this year with Easter Sunday, he celebrated it yesterday. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
When going about your daily life becomes difficult, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433.
Angel Army provides compassionate home care services. Angel Army can assist you with your personal care, make your bed, do your laundry, and perform light housekeeping. We can accompany you to various appointments, shopping, or just keep you company.
Angel Army is an equal opportunity company and can be reached at 215-805-8433 or visit angelarmycare.com.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Nancy Perry Graham, editor-in-chief of AARP Magazine, asked three friends what makes them feel happy and content. News director John Curran, recently diagnosed with a terminal illness, felt grateful for his loving wife and family, as well as his faith. He feels optimistic that his being won't end when his heart eventually stops. Diane Belli works with Asian American elders and is passionate about healthy aging. She and her husband love trying new things like dancing the Argentine tango. And Bonnie Perry says her happiest days started in her 40s. She got a master's degree, became a librarian, and found work at her grandkids' school. The lesson? Don't let age keep you from loving, learning, and growing.
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
I'm not here.
And that was redeemed by Big Daddy Weave. Obviously, we are following the resurrection, the redemption theme, because that's what happened when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We're hitting it pretty hard this week because you don't want to forget that. You don't want to forget that Easter Sunday is not the only day we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Let's take a quick look at the forecast for the greater Philadelphia area. Current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport right now is 51 degrees. Today, we're going to have sunny skies with a high near 67. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 44. Wednesday, a chance of showers after 11 a.m. and then increasing clouds with a high near 64. At the moment, in Warminster, it's 46 degrees. In Malvern, it's 45 degrees. And in Riverton, New Jersey, it is 48 degrees. Thank you for listening to Spirit in the Morning. I also want to thank Bob White for stopping in to talk about the life of St. Gianna. Right now, we are joined by Sean Tivenin. Sean is an actor. He is the star of the new play, St. Francis, Troubadour of God's Peace, from our friends at St. Luke Productions. And this play will be touring, let's see on my list here, it's going to be on at Croydon, Pennsylvania, at St. Thomas Aquinas Church on April the 23rd. And on Thursday, April the 27th, at St. Peter Church in West Brandywine, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be in the area. Sean, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning. Happy Easter, guys.
Happy Easter. That's right. We don't want to forget that, do we, Sean?
We just don't.
Not one day.
No, it is not.
All right, Sean, let's talk a little bit. By the way, you're a Jersey guy, I understand.
I am Jersey Shore, born and bred.
Okay. Wow. I don't advertise this too much because I'm on the Philadelphia station, but I actually live in New Jersey. I make the commute.
I can't imagine the person working in Philly would not want to advertise it from the wonderful shores of New Jersey. I can't imagine why that would.
Yeah, we let them cross over the bridge every morning.
Yeah. They put up with me, Sean.
I'm
really curious. You're in the play, St. Francis Troubadour of God's Peace, the production, I should say. How did you get started? What is your background? And did you ever envision yourself portraying St. Francis of Assisi?
Well, my background, predominantly, I went to school for theater. I studied abroad in London for theater. Mm. I did some theater in the Jersey area and the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. And I'd always been a practicing Catholic, but I'd never thought or never dreamed that I would ever actually do something that was so closely dovetailed to my faith, such as the St. Francis show, because, as everyone knows, show business is not exactly the most friendly of businesses towards the religious. you can walk up and down the streets in New York into any audition room, and you're not exactly welcome there with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's... I never would have dreamed that that would be something that I would be doing. It's strange for me because I've always, whenever I portray anyone or anything, I would feel a part of myself was kind of behind a closed door whenever I was doing it, because it was a distinct part of my identity that I was never really allowed to express. But that door swung wide open. That's what it is. That's central to the show. I mean, you have to have an understanding and you have to have a passion for the faith and for the church to really accurately portray someone as passionate as Francis.
Right, right. And he's certainly, I would say, one of the most popular saints of all time, one of the best known for sure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's behind Christ and the Virgin Mary. He's probably the most recognizable out of anyone. My family here in the Jersey Shore, we have, and among all the other families, they have... St. Francis statue right out in the yard.
Yep.
Our Francis statue has to get an update. I think its head fell off about five or six years ago. Fix that. I can't, in good faith, be going around proclaiming the gospel as Francis when I've got my decapitated Francis back at home.
But we
gotta
protect your head there, Sean.
Oh, man. But, Sean, this I called this a play, but it's more than a play. It's a production. This is written and directed by Leonardo DeFilippis. We are very familiar with his work. For the benefit of anybody who might be interested, tell us a little bit about what we can expect if we go to St. Francis Troubadour of God's Peace.
So
out well. It's a one-person show, which is not something you see a lot.
Right.
And I portray all the characters from Francis's birth to Francis's death. I am on stage. Along, we have a setup that will give an impression of the countryside of Assisi, give the impression of the mountain where he had the seraphic vision, where he got the stigmata. And we have the famous San Damiano cross, which is the center of the production.
Nice.
And I'll be there. I'll be there jumping around, showing everybody the life and times of St. Francis way back when.
And you also have, it's a multimedia production, so we have the various effects going on at the same time.
Yep, we have the lights.
Yeah.
We have Leo did an amazing job. He researched and found music, because most of the times when you hear a religious production, you'll hear religious music.
Mm-hmm.
This production, he specifically researched and found music, religious or not, that was indicative of the time.
Oh.
To put you in more of a mindset of someone, a commoner or an aristocrat, just walking around the streets and roads of countryside of Assisi of the time that Francis was alive, which really helps you get to that mindset.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, how long have you been portraying St. Francis?
I flew out to Washington very, very end of January.
Mm-hmm.
We did rehearsals for the entire month of February. And the first local tour kicked off beginning of March.
So it's a relatively new role for you.
Relatively new, yes.
How has it affected your life so far?
It's actually pretty funny. Just me as an actor, me as a person, I'm not the biggest people person.
Oh, really?
But it's almost subconscious when after the show's done, I'm in the back of the church or the gym or wherever we're doing the show, and I'll greet people and I'll say goodbye to people. And it's become just a reflex. Everyone I see now, it's just eye contact directly, maintaining, just asking, oh, how are you doing? How's your day? Well, I'd never do that before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's it. And I'm sure portraying St. Francis has to change your life as well.
Yeah. I think because we all know God speaks to us, and we all know sometimes he is subtle, sometimes he's not so subtle. But I was reading a book, the G.K. Chesterton biography of St. Francis, in preparation for St. Francis. And one of the things that G.K. Chesterton remarks about Francis is he talks about how Francis spent his life flinging himself around corners.
Hmm.
And I stopped for that, and I was trying to think, what does that mean?
Yeah.
But basically, the way he was talking about it was that Francis had so much faith and that God would provide and God would protect anything that he was doing. He never feared what was behind the corner. He had no idea what was behind the corner, but he never feared it, and he never stressed about it.
Yeah.
And that's definitely been a message that I have tried, still trying, to take to heart. I'm just a warrior by nature. That's just me.
Oh, man. But we have to talk. That's my specialty. Yeah. I speak about that extensively.
It would be a postgraduate research to worry. Yeah.
But you know, that's so important. And what you said is something that I can relate to, because when I go out and speak, I've experienced the same thing. The Lord can speak through us, but he also speaks to us using our own words, right? And I'm sure you're out there portraying St. Francis sometimes, and the Lord's actually speaking to you while you're doing it. Yeah, that's a great example for all of us to be able to trust in God's providence. Sean, I just want to highlight one more time, the production will be at Croydon at St. Thomas Aquinas Church on April the 23rd, and Thursday at St. Peter Church, West Brandywine, Pennsylvania, on April the 27th. Both of those are a free will offering only.
Yes, they are.
You can't beat that deal. And online, the best place to go is francisdrama.com. Is that correct?
Indeed. Correct. That is correct.
I have a real quick question, Sean. Do you like animals, pets?
Of course.
I was good, because our St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Fearless Hills, we have a blessing of the animals once a year. So I'm sorry. I just had
you
to get that
to
in.
You have to like animals, Dave, if you play St. Francis.
Exactly.
That's at least the first question that just knocks you out of the running if you had the wrong
exactly right.
In your interview.
Listen, Sean, do me a favor. Get that head fixed on St. Francis, though, okay? Hey, brother, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, God bless you, Sean Thivenin, the star of the production about St. Francis. St. Francis, troubadour of God's peace. I hear my music. That means it's time for a break. When we come back, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Stay tuned.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
I am the troubadour of the great king.
Experience the joy and passion of St. Francis of Assisi in a live drama that will make you laugh, make you cry, and will lead you deeper into the love of Jesus.
Since you speak of peace, all the more must you have it in your hearts.
A talented actor brings to life the most beloved saint of all time.
We have been called to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way.
Experience St. Luke's production of St. Francis live at St. Thomas Aquinas on April 23rd at 7 p.m. and at St. Peter Church in West Brandywine on April 27th at 7 p.m. Admission is a goodwill offering. Visit francisdrama.com to learn more.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Breath of God, now breathe. Breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. Oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Come Alive, Dry Bones by Lauren Daigle. I'm Gary Zimek, sitting here in the studios of Holy Spirit Radio, along with Dave Parker and Frank
Gary.
Eliason.
Hi,
what a fun day.
Yeah, that's good. Great. Always great when we have a guest in the studio.
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, just have the opportunity to interact like that. It's so much different than when you have someone on the phone versus sitting right in front of you.
Exactly.
And, you know, to actually sit in there watching him put the prayer cards on the gloves and
exactly.
He did this whole stack to leave with us, and to watch him doing that it was powerful.
It was very powerful.
Yeah, he was a great guest, as was Sean Thibodeau. I really hope he gets that statue of St. Francis fixed up.
Me too.
I've seen a lot of statues where the head's fallen off of St. Francis. It happens.
I'm looking forward to those shows personally. I'm going to at least go see one of them, maybe both.
Well, the one in Croydon, that's close to Fearless Hills, but I won't be in the area. I'm unfortunately going to miss that.
All right. Yeah. Well, maybe if it comes around again, I guess he's just getting started with this production.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
It's amazing how many productions St. Luke's is putting out.
Oh, and they're incredible. They're well done. And you kind of think about one-man show, and you're like, uh-oh, now I'm going to have to listen to someone for one. And then you see it in action, and it's amazing. And how they intertwine the story with media and make it into something very powerful.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I first thought about Gary when we were thinking about the show. I mean, interact with Gary all that time.
Here's the thing.
I didn't realize I threw that lob up for him.
You know what? I knew.
I was
watching Dave. He was working. I saw the wheels turning. It's like, okay, great. Here comes an insult. Dave is working on this one.
Well, truth be told, on a break, we were having some good banter.
All right, Parker. Let me do the Be Not Afraid.
Yeah, you need a Be Not Afraid Bible version.
This one is neat because this ties into something Bob White was saying. This is Psalm 94. 1,000 years in your eyes are merely a day gone by.
Wow.
In other words, the Lord is not in a hurry. He's on a different schedule than we are. Keep praying. Sometimes it feels like 1,000 years when I'm doing this show with Dave Parker. In all seriousness, though, I mean, it's sometimes hard to keep praying when you need something and the Lord doesn't seem to be answering fast enough. But that's one of the things Bob was saying. And Dave, you made the St. Monica, St. Augustine reference. That's important.
Yeah. Yes.
Keep on praying if you need something. Don't think that the Lord is saying no just because he's taking his time.
Yeah. When we don't hear anything or we get a busy signal, as we often sometimes quip about, like, hey, you know, God's not listening to me.
That's a common complaint.
Yes.
But maybe it's a chance to slow down and step back.
There you go.
You know, I think it's too much in this world. We're in a rush. Yeah. I know I personally am. And you know what? Is that the right approach? Or should we be stepping back and looking around at other things? Because we may be praying for something over there. But there's something that might be right in front of us that we're really missing.
That is a great point. And when we had Dr. Greg Popcheck on the show a week or so ago, he said the same thing. If the Lord's not answering or we're going through a struggle, ask the Lord, hey, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Mm-hmm. And maybe that time is what we need. You know, he's, I'm not going to answer you right now because you're not ready for what I want to give you. Yeah. And I want you to learn something.
Well, the Lord and my wife would say, patience, Dave.
That is hard. Hey, before we close out the show, Frank and Dave, I just wanted to reiterate what I said at the start. We are going to be taking some time off, Frank. Dave and I are not going to be physically in the studio.
Oh, my life is returning to normal.
Well, there's
no, we're coming. We're coming back.
Well, Frank got with it. Well, that's there's your quiet time, brother. Come on.
So,
no, I first of all, we've been doing the show pretty much straight, since October.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's a good chance for you guys to recharge. Mm-hmm. I think that's extraordinarily important. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. You know, are we going to have shows? Yes, we were going to have some really good shows. You know, we're definitely going to be, we have two new ones that we've never shared that are music compilations that we put together. I think they're really good. And so we'll be making sure that we mix in those. We'll mix in some of the other best of programs that we've had, some of the interesting interviews that maybe we haven't heard in a little while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at some point I'm hoping to replay the concert from Nativity, which I thought was extraordinarily powerful. And really good radio when you think through this opportunity to listen to something. And what I would ask, if you've heard it before, that's great. pay very close attention to the words in mm-hmm. the songs. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of great words in a lot of the songs that we play. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you start to pay attention to those, you start to get those aha moments.
Yeah.
And so in those concerts, which is two episodes that we made for Spirit in the Morning, very powerful. So, yes, over the next week and a half, we're going to have a mixture of things that I think will be really good radio and really good opportunity. But awesome. At the same time, you know, mm-hmm. looking forward to you guys recharging, getting some of that the energy continued. So, and when we come back, and we'll really continue to drive this show forward.
That's right. So on May 1st, I'll be back in the studio. And incidentally, I still will be able to read my emails. So if you want to shoot me an email mm-hmm. saying anything, I miss you, Gary. I love your show.
I miss you, Dave. We miss you, Frank.
That's right. Just feel free to email me, Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. But it's great. I mean, we have been, you're right, Frank, we've been doing this show nonstop since October the 10th, taking very few days off.
Yeah. That's right.
But we're really grateful for the listeners out there. I get so many great comments from people who love the show.
Plus the remotes we've done, and we've cut our teeth on those, and we're developing as we go forward. I just, in all seriousness, as they say, I'll miss you, Gary. I'll miss you, Frank. But I think we need some good deserved time off.
No, I think it's well deserved, and I think it should be good for both of you.
Yeah.
Let's close in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who have bestowed on us paschal remedies, endow your people with heavenly gifts so that possessed of perfect freedom, they may rejoice in heaven over what gladdens them now on earth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we close, I want to wish you a happy Easter one more time. Remember, the Easter season lasts for 50 days. We don't want to say happy Easter on one day. We are still in
Not
the Easter
and
season.
And let me say this. I'm going to miss all the listeners, too. You make the show. And
you're right, Dave.
So
they do.
We're so blessed to
have
you.
Show.
Yes,
we're just.
Yeah, we're here to channel the Holy Spirit, whatever He puts on our heart.
That's right. So thank you for tuning in, and remember, whatever you do today, wherever you go, the Lord is right beside you. Don't forget to turn around and say hi. God bless you. Talk to you next time.